So a couple things I'll get going. I've got kind of two major topics to talk about, and then Michelle's going to visit a little bit too. But what I'd like to just remind everybody is that next month on April 18th will be our last pit crew for this year. Eighth grade parents will be invited. So we'll get that out there to all the eighth grade parents, and then, of course, every other parent. I just wanted to express a little bit of hope, I guess, for the future for this group, being that this is like my last year, is that parents really take the opportunity to come to this. And, you know, tonight you're getting stuck with two counselors, but normally... We have teachers in here, and we see what they're doing, and they talk about what their background is and who they are as people, and you get to know what's going on in the classrooms. And I feel, when I thought about putting this together, that's a gift for parents for us to give them, to say, come into our school, come into our library, come and visit us and hear who is in front of your kids every day and who they are as people. So when you hear or get a call from a teacher or you hear something, you can say, hey, I was there. I met that teacher. I know what they're all about. And I just think that's really important. And our community is small enough. I know that people know people. But in this setting, it's a different world. And when we have your kid... for 9 months out of the year, we sure would like to see parent faces and input, you know. So, anyway, that's my plug. But we'll have one last one, April 18th, 5:15, school library. So that's that about that. A couple things I want to talk about. The first one is dress code. We always have an issue with dress code at Buffalo High School because we have rules and kids have their own idea of what it should be. And so recently I had a kid tell me that Buffalo High School is like the United States. And when they walk into the front, the office is Washington, D.C., and every teacher is a different state. And even though we have a handbook with rules, the different states dictate what their rules are. So some kids can get by with wearing a hat. Some kids have their phones. Some kids have ear pods. They walk into another state, and that's not allowed. And so it got me thinking. And so I talked with some kids, and we put together a student group that is working on dress code issues with me. So I wanted to hear from them what they thought. And one of the biggest things that they said that their struggle is with dress code is the inconsistency of staff. So that is something that we are taking into consideration. We are working on. And the other thing that I thought was very interesting is we started talking about what is the reason behind some of our rules. Because if you go to college campuses, they're wearing hats. They're wearing midriffs. They're wearing the belly shirt. They're maybe wearing their pajama pants. You know, we've always, and me especially, I think, and Michelle, jump in anytime, but we're always like, we're trying to get you ready for the next step of your life, right? So when you go to your job, you don't look like you're just crawling back in the sheets. Or we want you to look good and be presentable and be productive. And so these are our rules. And so I got this group of kids together with some staff, and we sat down and talked about what's the reasoning behind hats? What's the reasoning behind midriffs? Those are our two big issues. You know, the kids totally agree that they shouldn't wear shirts that have foul language or that promote drug and alcohol. And they're like, yeah, we shouldn't wear that. But they don't understand the other. So we said, good point. What is that? What is the reason behind all that? So at our last parent conferences, I just put a quick survey together And this is just a little sample of it. And it was just hats and midriffs. Yes or no? And the parents overwhelmingly said, no hats, no midriffs. We had nine out of two nights. It was 82 parents voted. We had nine say, yeah, midriffs should be allowed. And we had 31 say hats should be allowed, which I thought was kind of interesting. They were way more for hats than they were midriffs. So we wanted to hear what they had to say, so that's what we did. And then one of the things that we came up with was the kids said, could we try it? Can we just try and see if we can, if it's a big issue? And I said, well, let me check. So I checked. And so for the month of April, when the kids get back from spring break, we are changing the wording we're going to cover is excessive midriffs, that teachers will have the right to address excessive midriffs if they think it's too high. We're talking, we have kids that crunch over, they pull their pants up, and they walk around humped over so we can't see their belly, and then they stand up and they've got, you know. So hopefully kids will be more comfortable. Their posture will be better. But we're gonna set it up that during that month they can wear them. Now, if a teacher in the classroom will say something like, you know, during tests, we don't wear hats. Or if they want to do it for, you know, like cheating purposes, don't put the stuff under your bill, don't be falling asleep, whatever the case may be. If the teacher is okay with a kid having a cap on in class, then the kid gets to wear a cap. If they're okay with the midriff, then they're going to get to wear the midriff. So we aren't going to police that, I guess, or have that rule for the month of April only, knowing that they have to go back to the rule for the rest of May while we're under discussion for how we're going to start next year. So that's our plan. The kids, they want to try it, and we've agreed to let them. So I have no idea how this is going to turn out. I guess the good news might be that I won't be here next year to enforce it. So I don't know if it's good or bad. You know, I just know that we have a lot of staff that they don't see it. They're busy teaching. We seem to be the ones always having in the office. We're catching it. We're watching kids come in and out. And if they feel that they can get bias, it's happening anyway, maybe it's not a big deal. For some reason, we see in this vote, parents really don't want the midriffs. But yet, I will tell you, we have a number of kids wearing them already anyway. So I don't know. So we're going to try it. We're going to see if it's an issue, if they can be appropriate. We will say excessive because, I mean, we're not going to wear sports bras. We're talking like an inch and a half midriff is kind of what the kids felt was appropriate. So we are going to start that when we come back from spring break. So you'll probably see advertising about that and kids talking about it more and more. And then we'll see what the result of that is. So that's kind of what's going on in that world. So, any questions about that?
Well, it's not a fair question.
Okay.
But Buffalo High School does not exist in isolation. There's obviously a high school in KC, but there's also a grade school here with 6th to 8th graders. Have the students, in the course of your conversation with them as they kind of came up with this proposal and so on, have they considered about the trickle-down effect on their younger peers?
This is a very interesting... I'll share a comment from our meeting. It wasn't really so much the trickle-down on that, but one of the students on our committee, his parent is a teacher in another school, and their joke at their house is if they can either of them see what they can do to break the school dress code. So I don't know if it's a joke. I don't know if it's People just think it's ridiculous. I don't know. But they did not talk about the trickle-down effect. So, but that is definitely something to consider when we all get back together and talk about, because I'll have the kids and the adults sit in the room and come up with a plan. That's kind of our goal. So, hi, welcome.
Hello. For some reason I was thinking it was going to be bigger meat.
Well, we never know. We never know what we're going to get. We're hoping. We really don't know what will happen. So the first part of May, we'll get together and update the handbook. They may all agree that, yeah, that was dumb and we're not going to do it. They all may, I don't know, teachers may say there was no difference. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But I thought, why not try it?
So. There's so many things about working with our young adults. You know, it's like pick your battles. We all do that as parents, you know, picking our battles, what we want to stand on. And we've just had so much conflict, as Madonna was saying, where it's just, it's different. Like, this teacher's okay with it. This teacher's okay with it. All of a sudden, a kid gets to fifth period, and it's not okay. And so I felt bad for Madonna because she's tried to be this very consistent expectation. So then we're like, okay, it's time to pick a battle. Let's see if it is something that our staff comes more alive with, like, no, we need to be teaching them how to dress for career and future. Or this is okay, and let's move forward and just keep focusing on education. You know, so it's an interesting balance.
Yeah. So the results will be interesting, and the kids are pretty. You know, I think that they were pretty on top of it, and I think understanding why we do something is important to them. And so that's what I think. What we're really working on is, you know, figuring out why does this matter, and maybe they'll have a why when we're done, or maybe we'll have a better why, you know, when we're done. Why
so
it matters.
You talked about hats and midriffs.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other rules that are being relaxed?
No,
just those two.
Just those two. Those are the two issues. They were very, very. The kids are very agreeable to messages on their shirts, maybe certain political messages that maybe we know what the meaning is, even though it doesn't say that. Any drug or alcohol, any pornography, anything like that. The kids they're like, yeah, we shouldn't have that. They were very, you know, this, for some reason, I think, you know, with the, you know how the fashions change, or they just keep repeating themselves if you live long enough. That's just where we are right now.
I can understand the hat thing, definitely, because I see that lots of adults wearing them all over the place. And I can see why the kids would, because my son questions me, and I tell him not to wear it in certain places. So,
yeah, I think if we have a good understanding as to why the rule is what it's going to be, I think the kids are going to be more receptive to following it. Plus, I think this is going to be a good experiment for our staff as well to say, hey, do you guys want to have a dress code or not?
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing a, I just went blank. A trial, I guess, with midriffs and hats for the month of April.
Yep.
So our parents that voted at conferences are totally like, no midriffs, and they're about, I don't know, almost a third okay with hats. So we want to hear from parents. We want to hear from them, so we just kind of threw that out there just to get a little idea. And then kids, there's a kid group that meets with me and some staff, and we're putting that together for April for them to have a trial run at it, see if they can be, follow the rules, be respectful. If it's too much, fix it, that kind of thing. So that's kind of where we're at with that. And then I just wanted to give a quick run over of what we're doing for summer school. So, and you guys probably won't have summer school kids, but just so you know and get the word out, We are offering 3 of our 4 cores, and it's for credit recovery. So we have science, English, and math. We don't have social studies this year. And we go from June 5th, we go 4 weeks through June 28th, 4 days a week. And what we're doing is we're giving kids that have like a 50% to a 59% in a core a chance to come in and relearn what and get their grade up, if relearn the content area that they had failed through that semester. So all of our, so each kid basically, it'll be specialized on the area that they have not grown in, so they're ready to go the next year. It's super hard in high school, especially in our core area, to meet the Hathaway requirements, to get your 28 credits when you start falling behind in your academics. So we are going to, but it, if you have something lower than a 50, we just, that's our cutoff, and we're like, okay, you have to retake that class, which gets difficult when some of our juniors are up in Alg 1 still, you know, and then we have to maybe visit about, hey, we got to look at maybe an alternative for you because you don't have the credits to graduate. So we will be offering that. Again, that starts June 5th, and it goes through the 28th. Kids can only miss twice or they don't get to finish because the attendance is super important, and they go 4 hours a shot, 4 hours a day. They either go 8 to noon or noon to 4. So anyway, we do have some staff willing to take that on this year, so we're super excited about that. So that's kind of our summer school. And maybe I'll send one of those down in case you want it for your site. Any questions about that? Okay. All right, so that's really all I had for tonight. Just a reminder, the next time we'll have 8th grade parents are going to be invited. We're going to go all through our office information, so you'll get to meet all of our office people, principal, who does what, who you go to for this, who you go to for that, and that's really helpful if you haven't had a kid up here. So, you good?
Yeah. So kind of adding on to what Madonna was just talking about with our summer school, one of the most important things that we try to strive to help our students be is Hathaway qualified. And I'm sure you guys have heard information about the Hathaway Scholarship and just the requirements for that. But our biggest goal is for every student to be Hathaway qualified when they graduate. You know, we'll have students that will, you know, even tell us in their senior year, well, I'm not going to college. And they get to the end of their senior year and they're like, I just really want to go to Sheridan College. So we don't want them to shut doors of opportunity for themselves, because even after they graduate, they have up to 4 years to start their pathway. And we just talk to the students a lot about, you just don't know what life opportunity is going to happen. And so we want to make sure that they have every potential opportunity for the Hathaway Scholarship. We've had a couple students the last couple of years, well, I just want to be a CNA. Well, they think, you know, making $17 an hour, that's huge. And then they get in that profession and they get working so hard and they find out the person next to them, you know, got their 2-year associate's degree or they got their 4-year degree and they're making $27 an hour. And they shut the door on themselves to have that opportunity. So I just want to give you an opportunity to think about the Hathaway Scholarship with one of our families here represented. Their daughter's going to be a junior. And your junior year, they get to choose so many different pathways. And so we want to be sure that all our students going into their junior year are thinking about, I'm in my 4th year of math, science, and English. I'm in my final year of social studies. And as an incoming freshman, how important it is when they start off that they're right on the right track. And Madonna and I work really hard with our students just to, we're constantly checking curriculums and pathways and making sure that our students are set up for the Hathaway Scholarship. Probably one of the hardest challenges is the ACT score. You'll notice that across the bottom. It is a challenge for our students to meet those different levels. And so we try a lot with our testing system that we're putting the students through as they're going through high school, that they're building the confidence and the skill set to be able to achieve that. But we also know that testing isn't for all students. And so that very first column on the right, the provisional, We work for our students to be able to use the WorkKeys certification, which WorkKeys is a part of ACT, but it gives students to have an opportunity to be more career ready, workforce ready. And that's what the WorkKeys test says compared to the ACT. So when people get discouraged about, well, my kid's not going to score that well on the ACT, there's other options. So we do try to make sure that all of our students have those necessary qualifications. When you look at the core areas, it is talking about 4 years of English, math, and science, and 3 years of social studies. And just making sure our students meet those pathways, they're set and they're qualified. The other part, the second page that I just handed out to you, the students have to also take a pathway in fine and performing arts, career and technical, or foreign language. A few years ago, it was just foreign language, and we found that students have other pathways. They like being in the woodshop. They like being in the art room or being in band or being in the business department or computer science. It's great because now it has expanded that all of our students can find a pathway where they can be in 4 years of those different categories. They have to have two of those years that are sequenced. So we're wanting to show that they are a concentrator. So they take entrepreneur and advanced entrepreneur, or they take ceramics one and ceramics two, or gaming design to gaming concepts. And so they have to have two of those sequenced because we just want to show that they have found an area that they've developed a strong skill set. So, and if you guys have any questions about that, and, you know, as we're working with your students, we're constantly just trying to make sure that they're set up for that program.
Another thing that I would just say about the Hathaway, a lot of kids will say, I am not staying in Wyoming. I am leaving Wyoming to go to, and some of them do, and a lot of them come back. So we always say, you know, you can leave, but let's get you qualified. Mm-hmm. And really, if they're going to college in another state, they want to be on that pathway anyway. To qualify for those things, to get into schools in other places. The other thing is, on that provisional, you could only go to a junior college. You have to start at a junior college. But the good news is, like, if you went through high school and you didn't get your CNA, and you said, you know, I want to go get a certification in something, CNA, welding, whatever, Hathaway also pays for that. You know, it's not just for a degree, so you can use it anywhere in Wyoming, a junior college.
So are you saying that a student can potentially go out of state to college, decide that that's not the place for them, and then come back and pick up mm-hmm. the Hathaway?
Mm-hmm.
And would that get them through 3 years or four?
Once they start, they get 4 years. So they have 4 years to start it, 4 years to use it. We have some students who have gotten their bachelor's at an out-of-state school and go to UW and start their master's, and the Hathaway kicks in then.
And with the number of college credits that kids can earn in high school, most of them have their associates. I mean, they don't have an associate's, but they have a lot of college credit that goes to their bachelor's right off the bat, which is so nice. So, yeah. Well, riveting information.
Yes, it is. This is going up on the fridge.
You're going to get another one tomorrow, by the way.
Cool. That means I can have one up in his room and one on the fridge.
That's perfect.
No, he's already kind of like, I need to get all these grades.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Cool.
It is.
So do you guys have any questions for us about any of the things that we were talking about?
The success, mm-hmm. it has 7 and 8 on this year.
So Hathaway, so like tomorrow, for example, we'll be going to visit with the 8th graders. So we just do a Hathaway introduction to them because they start teaching kids about Hathaway in junior high. And so the other thing is, like, in the Hathaway math, I think it mentions Alg 1. A lot of our kids will come up from 8th grade and start geometry. So I think that that's there because the assumption is that if you're in geometry, you've had the Alg 1. So that might be why that's there. I don't ever really, I mean, I look at it, but I don't ever use that sheet.
They just kind of start clean with us. But there are some schools that will teach Spanish 1 in 8th grade. So I think that's why they have that 7th and 8th grade chart there as well,
mm-hmm.
in case the school has that opportunity. The only opportunity we have is the Algebra 1.
Yeah. And a lot of times you I mean, there's so many things. Like, you have to be certified in, like, high school. Like, if they taught it down there, they have to be certified up here. There's all these, like, kind of little rules around all that. And I wouldn't pretend to know them all. But I do know, even like homeschool and different, like getting your HISET or GED, there's opportunity for halfway in that as well. It's a wonderful opportunity for kids that, I mean, $1,600 a semester free for just going to school and getting grades. That's not bad. So, all right. Gosh, you guys, thank you so much. I guess we'll see next month will be the big 8th grade introduction, and hopefully some other high school parents as well. And then that'll be our last one for this year. It's going fast. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks for coming, you guys.